This is officially a mess. This is who they are. That's who they are. What you saw yesterday, they'll win some games. They I don't know how, but they will. But they're not gonna. They're not. You better not have them in year seven in heaven tomorrow. I tell you that right now. You damn well better not have them. It's you can do as you wish, but I'm gonna be screaming at you tomorrow if you put them at seven in heaven at 7 o'clock.
Well, I thought for sure they would be.
That is not heavenly. That is absolutely hellish.
I thought for sure they'd be 3-1 after the first four games.
Well, here we are. They have a chance to be 2-2, allegedly.
All right, so I asked you a question in the opening segment. When you have a terrible offensive line, I mean, your season's doomed. So
yeah.
I don't want to write off the entire season based on what we've seen the first 3 weeks. It obviously doesn't look pretty, and when you got guys going and getting their MRIs today, and of course...
I got three guys getting an MRI on that offensive line.
And of course, bigger than all of them is Myles Garrett's MRI, yeah. And he's not on the offensive line, but... The offensive line is something we've taken for granted over the years because we've just been so damn good up front that it allows you to do so many more things in the NFL. And especially the one thing that obviously Stefanski teams have done really well when they've been at their best is the play action stuff, is the ability to truly throw off defenses. They have no idea when you're going to run the ball, pass the ball, all that. Well, yesterday... You were down, and it wasn't like you were getting blown out, but it felt like you were. And they were teeing off. And it also felt like while they were sending, you know, a fifth guy, a sixth guy, I swear to God, there was a play where I thought they sent eight guys. And you were not, you saw it. Everybody knew before the play. It wasn't like they were disguising it. And yet there was no understanding of those blitz elements from either your coaching staff or your quarterback. You've got a veteran quarterback, and now you've got a veteran coach that has seen a lot, and yet they were not able to make those adjustments yesterday. Or even if they were able to make the adjustments, they still can't block them because the offensive line is in shambles. So the question is going forward, Kenny, is how in the world do you make this work if that line is going to be that banged up and the book is clearly out? You can blitz these guys.
I don't know, other than you got to get Nick Chubb back to be able to keep any team honest because then you'll be able to run the football. But what type of Nick Chubb am I supposed to expect? That's unfair to Nick Chubb. They're in bad shape, Tone. This is not good. Again, you had a chance in this football game. If you were playing a good team, you'd have been even angrier than what you are yesterday because they'd have blown your doors off. Your priorities are wrong. The entire scope of what this franchise is wrong. They don't know what they can do offensively. They don't know what they want to do offensively. Last week, it looked like a Kevin Stefanski offense. What did this week look like? I got no answer. Do you have an answer? I got guys. Can we go through the problems here? This is where it's like, guys, take your pick. This is why I say this is who they are. And I think they probably should know it. And it's not going to be good for the rest of the year. I don't think they're going to be a 3-win football team. They ain't going to be very good. They're not going to be very good. I think they might get 7. That's where they're going to be. And I don't know how they're going to get to those 7, but they're going to have to find a way to do something there. And then eventually throughout the season, we are going to start to talk about coach or quarterback and who stays and who goes and all that other stuff. But guys, this is so bad, you could just take your pick. No one's wrong today. That's the beauty of today, is everybody can be mad and nobody's wrong. Nobody's ill-informed. I got people, Ken, you got to put it on the ownership. Yeah, they're the owners of the football team. Ken, you got to put it on the head coach. He's the head coach of the football team. That's what they get. I don't know what Ken Dorsey does. I have no idea what he does. I don't know what Paul DiBattista does. And then yesterday, if it wasn't enough, the microcosm of our entire problem at the position was highlighted on the very last pass that you tried to complete because it bounced off his chest and on the ground, which it should have been caught because he's a professional wide receiver that was drafted in the third round. Oh, wait, that's right. I have a general manager that can't draft wide receivers. He overdrafts wide receivers in the third round, and so he notoriously has to trade for these wide receivers or be on every single trade conversation imaginable for wide receivers because, damn it, we just can't draft him. We can't draft him. Other teams, they find them in the fifth round. They find them here. They find them there. They find them everywhere. We can't do it. It's impossible. So we wait for wide receivers to have problems with their organization, and then we want to jump in on it. That's what we do. We trade for these guys. And, hey, so far, the guys they traded for, I got no problem with Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy's done fine. I got no problem with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's obviously done fine, and it was great that at least he had a good game yesterday. At least we had that. But other than that, there was nothing that was any good whatsoever. I fear for Joel Bitonio that this is his last season. You're putting him at a disadvantage. I fear that I'm never going to see Jed Wills ever again. And you could say, good, that's fine, because nobody really likes Jed Wills out there. But you need Jed Wills out there. And he's hurt again. Who knows what that's going to be? And Jack Conklin, that's done. We're done. He's getting a hamstring injury. I don't think his body can take football anymore. It's been a year. I know I'm saying some wild stuff, but what else am I supposed to wonder with the man? There's nothing else to wonder. So I have an offensive line that is in tatters. I have a coach that I don't necessarily trust to begin with on the offensive line. I mean, this is what comes off the top of my head. I haven't even gotten to the defense. Dancing for 20 seconds. There's a flag 40 yards behind you. You're dancing. And it's not just dancing. It's not just celebrating. It's choreographed. What are you working on? What are you working on? I got a guy who everybody liked in the third round. Hey, Barry might know how to draft defensive backs. He might know that. I got a guy who everybody loved. He is getting torched. And we have no interest in bracketing. Because that's going to hurt our egos. We got to go, man. Okay.
Or putting our best corner, one of the lockdown corners in the league, on the guy that is torching you.
We are getting torched, and it looks like the only thing we practiced throughout this week was a dance. At least the dance looked good. But in fact, it didn't count because there was a penalty on the play. And if
the dance counted. I mean, that is a dance. You can't take that off the boards.
You
know, it's like those NCAA banners they try to take down. No. I saw it. Reggie Bush's Heisman, I watched it.
Yeah, but just like the Reggie Bush Heisman and just like the banner, you saw it just like people saw the dance. So it counts in your mind, and it doesn't count for a good thing. 216-474-0092. I mean, take your pick. But I'm just telling you guys right now, right now, this is who they are. And for the future, this is who I think they're going to be. And it leads to very big, big, big problems. And we haven't even gotten to what they were chanting at the stadium yesterday. They're not going to open up that door. Not yet. Maybe by the time they come back against Cincinnati on October 20th. Maybe by that time. They're not opening up that door. Mm-mm. Because once you walk through it, you ain't never walking back. And how much is left on that contract? How much is left on that contract?
Oh, Deshaun?
Yeah, how much?
Oh, I mean, you still got 2 more years.
Okay. They ain't walking through that door unless they absolutely have to. Not a chance. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It might get to a point here in a couple of weeks where they go, you sure you're feeling okay? Are you sure you're feeling... Are you really sure you're feeling okay? Maybe it gets to that. But it's going to be... It's got to be pure... And yesterday wasn't fun. It's got to be pure, unadulterated hell, unlike anything we've seen, to pull him out. Because you're not walking back through that door again. It's over, it's broken, and it will never be fixed if you do that. Like, now you can at least, like, there are people out there, they believe that he is still good. They believe that he is still can be 2020 who he is. And I feel bad because I don't think that those people live in reality. But there are people who believe that. Once you do that, you're not even fooling those people anymore. That's it. You can't do it. 216-474-0092. Dave in Macedonia. Hello.
Morning, boys.
Hi. By the way, I'm not getting any pushback at all about what I'm saying here. I can only say so much. None.
You know, you're not going to get it from me.
Okay.
Listen. You know, how do you think the phone call went yesterday? Hello, Paul. Sandman. You said it wasn't going to be this way. Well, Jimmy. Sometimes, you know. Can you imagine the locker room? And, you know, you're pretty close to everything, so you probably already know. You just can't say. Locker room's got to be a mess. It's a mess.
I don't think it is yet. I think it will be. Eventually it will be.
Yeah, well, it's closing pretty quick. And this is the year to lose because it's a good class coming out. Just, you know, you might as well. You got to get rid of this guy. I don't care if you eat it. I don't care if he gets suspended and you can get it back. But, you know, you just got to rebuild the offensive line. That's no question about that. And then get a young guy in there. There's plenty of guys that could come in and teach. I mean, to me, in my opinion, you know, DTR, he's probably not the guy. Not that I would discard him, but, you know, you get a Flacco-like guy in here, draft one of these guys, whether it's Cam Ward or Ewers or whatever. Okay. You're going to have to give away a lot to get up there.
I mean, Dave's already talking about – Dave, thank you for the call. Dave's already talking about next April.
My God.
Dave's already talking about April, guys.
Well, I saw a suck for Shador I don't know how many times last night.
We will get to that conversation if this continues. I promise you that.
It is too early in the season to be doing this.
Is it too early?
My God.
Is it too early because you have faith that they'll turn around? Or is it too early because you're uncomfortable having the conversation?
No,
that's what you need to ask.
It's absolutely uncomfortable. It's absolutely uncomfortable.
I'm glad you gave it.
The injuries already taken their toll. You're 3 weeks in, and unlike last year, all these guys we joked that weren't at the Greenbrier were able to come in and help out. A bunch of guys that were not there during training camp were able to come in and help out. I mean, do you think there are guys in that locker room that were like, we can kind of go through the motions in training camp. We can kind of go through the motions, you know, with preseason and all that. And even, you know, you drop the first game. Okay, you drop two first because he's going to save them because that was last year. Because that's an anomaly. That doesn't happen in the NFL. That magical run that the Browns went in the final stretch of last season, that almost never happens.
Yeah,
so if
over.
They're waiting for something like that, a Nick Chubb, maybe a Njoku, and somebody else to quarterback the team, that's not going to happen again.
I'm begging somebody with a grip on reality to tell me different, that this is who they are. Because this is who they are. I want somebody with a grip on reality. Tell me I'm wrong, please. I'm asking. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. Because if I'm wrong, that means I don't have to go through any of these things that Dave was just talking about. I want to be wrong. Make it historical. I'm one of the radio shows that want to be wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me why. That is Joel Bitonio. I feel bad.
Did you read into anything that he said there?
But as far as?
Joel is not somebody who's going to throw anybody under the bus. It kind of sounded there to me like their game plan this week fell way short on what they actually saw on the football field.
Yeah. I mean, look at what happened. There were 7 sacks in the game. They didn't game plan that. He had to play left tackle. They certainly didn't game plan that. Like, nothing really worked. After the script, nothing works. And yeah, you threw a touchdown pass in the first play, so I don't know what else is going to happen after that.
I'm talking about the way he kind of – I mean, he's Joel Bitonio. I don't expect flamethrowing or anything like that.
No.
But, you know, blocking what was called – I mean, almost like, yeah, we were doing what we were supposed to do, but what we were supposed to do may not have been what we were really supposed to do.
Watson even went into that. Let's – play this Watson here. He mentioned how the game plan was not what the game planned for.
I mean, they switched up the game plan. I think, you know, you got to give their DC Shane a lot of credit of doing something different that we, you know, of course we were expecting, you know, pressure. But, you know, as much as they brought it, you know, you just got to prepare for the worst. And they did a good job of trying to create mismatch and different confusion up front to, you know, get us off our timing in the passing game. So, you know, for us to try to correct that, you know, we got to win our matchups and try to figure out the right protection to figure out what pressures they were doing off the edge to create.
He's right there. They don't blitz often. Certainly not that often.
Well, they blitzed 51% of the time yesterday.
Yeah, they did not to that level. They don't have a lot of blitzes, usually because they have to play.
Okay.
But any defensive coordinator smells blood in the water that. They're going to send people.
So here's my question, though. All right, I get that one team shows something the first few weeks, or defensive coordinator, or if it's a situation where it's a holdover, the staff's been there before. You have tape, and then you have an expectation of what that team's going to do. But we have talked a lot in recent years about how the whole theory of a halftime adjustment is kind of silly now. With all the technology afforded to them, with the tablets, like with the communication situation, even in college now, they have better communications. Halftime adjustment is kind of something of the past. It's something that you're making adjustments possession to possession now.
Yeah.
Because especially a team like this, with the amount of veterans that the Browns have on this team,
I mean, the adjustments should be made series to series.
Yes.
Just because that wasn't the game plan, that doesn't mean that you should be doomed and you should lose the game and have no shot.
The quote-unquote halftime adjustment is the most overrated nomenclature that we find. Anybody who's ever been around it will tell you that. You have to make adjustments during the game. You have you have umpteen coaches that are sitting with these position groups during every change of possession. They are going to sit there and make adjustments. You can't just, it's the second quarter. We got to wait till halftime to make this adjustment.
So it shouldn't be as simple. Like when we play the Raiders next
week. You're adjusting throughout.
It shouldn't be that the Raiders showed something for 3 weeks and now, they surprised us. They went with something else that we didn't prepare for. Guys, you're making a lot of money as a coaching staff. You should be able to pick these things up.
Yeah.
And you have the wherewithal to be able to adjust. I don't want to hear that a team, they did something that they hadn't shown on tape, and so therefore we threw up the white flag and that was it. Like, come on.
I totally agree with you.
Way too much money is being spent on this roster,
this
coaching staff, this organization. You have the technology. It's 2024. Come on. It shouldn't be that easy.
Let's go to the phones. Josh and Berea, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Josh.
What's up, guys? Man, I don't even know. I'm with you guys. I don't know where to start. I mean, it's a top-down failure everywhere. I mean, you can put it on the quarterback. You can put it on the head coach. You can put it on the game plan. You can put it on the offensive line. But at the end of the day, this just looks like a team that reminds me of the 2022 Browns, of the 2021 Browns. Just lifeless. Nothing there. And I hate to go back to what I said in 2022 when Lima was like, don't get all philosophical on me, Josh. But I did. I said, I think we have good seeds, but the soil's bad. And the soil is the Haslams. I'm sick of these guys. I hate the way they look. I hate the way they talk. Okay. I hate the way they just, let's talk about a stadium in the offseason and not address the roster issues.
I don't think that they will. Hold on. I don't think it was an either or, Josh, of talking about a stadium or addressing the roster.
But either way, you have bigger problems. You have bigger problems than just that. I don't care. Like, that's what we talked mainly about in the offseason. That was mainly what we talked about. Oh, dome or no dome? Stay in Cleveland. I don't care. We deserve a dome right now, or we're going to lose in that dome. But, hey, at least we'll get Taylor Swift. I don't care. At the end of the day, like you guys said, we have way too much money in this roster to be going out there and not even score 20 points yet in the season. We haven't even scored 20 points yet, guys.
Oh, my God, we haven't.
What is this?
I didn't realize we hadn't. Josh, thank you very much for the call. I did not realize we had not scored 20 points yet.
We're thinking about big events at the new dome. I mean, Dancing with the Browns could be something that could sell out that place.
Jim and Perry, keep it clean.
Good morning, Ken.
Hi.
Okay. Couple points. One, I told you this team is going nowhere.
Well, congratulations. You're the guy. You really put them out there, didn't you?
Hey, it's you know why, though? Because I don't put the blinders on like I used to. All right? The Browns have always tried to seem like they're ahead of the curve. They're not. Why are we running a college offense? It doesn't work. Everybody's now – like the league this year has the least amount of passing yards – thus far in the
we've tried it for 3 years. Take a look at the quarterback. Who the hell knows?
Well, okay. My point. So the blitzing yesterday, that was kind of awesome to see just because it's like, holy crap, what's going on? You would think they would have some kind of plays that would maybe, you know, a nice little 2-3-step drop, a quick out, quick slant, anything. Deshaun Watson cannot perform unless he has 7 seconds. Ken, you could probably get a pass off if you had 10 seconds back in the backfield. This offense is trash. There's a reason why Dorsey got let go by Buffalo. You know who I feel bad for the most out of all of this is Kevin Stefanski, because I think Kevin Stefanski has been a guy that has just been like, oh yeah, we'll do it this way.
What they wanted to do, Jim, and thank you very much for the call. What they really wanted to do is they wanted to take Ken Dorsey, who has experience with big body mobile quarterbacks, Cam Newton, Josh Allen, and they wanted to mold his philosophies in with what Kevin does. But you could see it night and day. Last week, what were we in? We had a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of heavy, a lot of Nick Harris lined up as a way. Now, you really couldn't do heavy halfway through the game because you didn't have the guys in the backfield to do that. But you had a lot of heavy sets, and it was a very Kevin Stefanski offense, and they protected him. But they're not going to be comfortable in that very long. They want to turn him loose. What's there to turn loose? What's there to turn loose? I want to turn loose an effective offense. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to run the football. I want to be able to control and manage the game. That's what I want to do. What's there to turn loose?
Well, here is the byproduct, I think, of what we've seen the first three games. I think Deshaun Watson is going to start taking off and running. I think he is going to abandon that pocket quicker than ever. And there's going to be some good there. You did see some good things, some good scrambles yesterday where it did look again like he had that athleticism. Even if he's a hair, you know, a touch slower than he used to be when he was a total freak and he was doing Michael Vick stuff. I think that is what is going to be a byproduct of this. You're going to see a guy that's not already lacking the confidence in that pocket. He's going to take off and run so much more, which means he is going to have to protect himself.
But if you want anything to develop, you're going to have to go back. When he says back to basics, if you want to get this thing going in any sort of direction, I don't think it's like a right direction or to the playoffs or anything, because I told you where I stand on all that stuff right now. This is who they are. They're a middling to lower team right now, and I don't think that that's going to change. But if you want to have a chance to change that, you're going to have to convince him that he needs to be protected. And if it's under center and doing dropbacks, if it's under center and doing rollouts and using his athleticism there, I don't know what it is. All I know is that they did their very best to protect him, and he was an effective quarterback against Jacksonville. He was. And there were times even yesterday where, man, it seemed like they were trying to protect him, and he was a little bit more effective. But by the time that there was any chance for anything to get rolling, he was getting blitzed like crazy. Offensive linemen were getting hurt. And then you go back to the third quarter. They get the ball at the Giants 45. First and 10 at the Giants. This is at the Giants 30. Overthrow to Elijah Moore. Open. Overthrow. Threw it over his head.
Oh, that would have been a huge, huge touchdown.
Second and 10 under pressure on a cross, like a little drag to Amari Cooper. Threw it too high. Another miss. Then was sacked. End of series. Oh, wait, Dustin Hopkins missed a 56-yard field goal. End of series. Golden opportunity right there. And so even when he's trying to help himself, he can't help himself. And I wrote down by that time, I'm going, he's seeing ghosts again. He's under so much pressure, which, by the way, I would. I think a lot of quarterbacks would. Any guy who's not named Mahomes probably would. So it makes him human. I can understand. This isn't even knocking him. I understand the logic of this. You know, people get too sensitive and they say, well, you're not. No. There's logic to this. He's been getting hammered all game. Third quarter comes around. He gets sacked. I mean, the first possession, they get it at their 30 after the touchback on the kickoff. Second and 10, he tried to take off. He was sacked. Lost 2 yards. Incomplete, trying to go to Jerry Jeudy on third and 12. Punt. So now he's trying to make anything happen. He's desperate. They got great field position. Tremendous field position. He's flushed on play action. They booed like crazy. He took off. He's just playing instinctual backyard football at that point because he doesn't trust the offensive line. At that point, there's no way he can trust any of the plays. There's no way. It's not even a knock on him. Guys, understand this. It's the logic of the mess of what this became in that sequence right there. And I still think that if you can harness anything, he could be an above-average quarterback because it was still a 7-point game, or 6-point game, I should say, at one point.
Despite how badly we were getting outplayed.
And if you're an above average quarterback, that means if you play above average and you can protect him, you can beat a team like the Giants. You can beat a team like the Raiders. You can beat a team like Washington. You're probably not going to beat Philadelphia. Or I don't know what the Bengals are yet, so I'm not going to speak on that. I don't know really what the Ravens are yet. You're probably not going to beat some of these teams that are better than that. Hopefully you'll split against Pittsburgh. I haven't really got a chance to watch much Pittsburgh, and I'm really dying to go watch a 3-0 team. But that's what it is. So he can be an above-average quarterback still. That can be salvaged. That yesterday, that's going to have a very ugly conversation. And if you do have that conversation and you do make a change, that's it. We wash our hands of all of it. And we wash our hands of competing for the next couple of years. Because you're going to make other serious changes. You don't disagree with any of this, by the way.
No.
Okay. Want to make sure. Rob and Madonna, you got 90 seconds. Go.
What's up, guys? So I've been calling for probably 3 years saying the same exact thing. Stefanski cannot be the offensive coordinator and the head coach. It's too much on his plate. You know, when our defense really excels and he has time to sit back maybe and think about game time changes, maybe it's a little different. Our team is in shambles because we don't have a head coach. We have an offensive coordinator making the calls, and it's just too much for him.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. Would you want Ken Dorsey to call the plays right now?
I would. I would. And again, I think if Stefanski was just the play caller, I think he'd be fine. But it's just too much on his plate.
Wait a second. What did we have last year?
We had a great defense. And the great defense gave him a little time to sit back. But right now our defense is not great. So he has to be the head coach overlooking the defense, overlooking the special teams. He doesn't have time to make the in-game adjustments because it's just too much. And it's nothing against him.
Well,
that's a hard thing to do. It's like, how come you guys answer the calls?
I remember.
How come you don't answer the calls when they come in? Because it's just you need that screener. You know, like if you're like all of a sudden, hey, you know, you got to do the screening too. You're like, man, that's a lot on my plate.
Rob, I got to I got to let you go because we got to go. But, you know, I brought that up a couple years ago. I can't sit there and say that Rob's crazy. And I know what you said the last season. Well, what happened between the season before and last season? They got rid of Joe Woods. They brought in Jim Schwartz. He trusted Jim Schwartz. He trusted him. So he didn't have to worry about the defense or the special teams. He could concentrate on offense. Now I got to worry about what's going on. And my defense is not playing. You're giving up 93-yard drives to Daniel Jones. We can't make adjustments all of a sudden.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Kenny, am I allowed to touch other people's kids? That is the question today after what happened yesterday.
Want to rephrase that?
Well, I'll explain.
Clarify it at least?
Yeah, I'll help clarify. Mate, did that sound bad coming out of the mouth?
It did.
All right, so yesterday, surprise 40th birthday party at a bar, an Irish bar. There was some drinking going on.
Well, I'd hope so. It's an Irish bar.
There was some watching of the Browns going on. And we, I thought, made the right choice. Finally, leave those kiddos at home. And it was a thing of beauty. We got out of the house. And now, unfortunately, the game was terrible. Conversation was decent. Game was terrible. And second half.
Some excellent conversation. Wonderful.
Absolutely. And in the second half, parents were starting to drift away that did bring their kids. They were starting to head into some other rooms or going upstairs where there was like a party room. And everybody was dispersed. Maybe like 50 people all over the place. And there were some toddlers running around and doing, well, gymnastics routines on the bar stools. And so my question to you is, Kenny, am I allowed to touch a kid? Because there were two kids in particular that if they were my own kids, I'd run over to take them basically under the armpits and go here and place you here because they were tumbling right over the bar stools and onto the ground.
Are you touching them for safety reasons or are you touching them to get them to stop?
I am touching them for safety reasons. Okay. Because,
you're allowed to do that. Why aren't you allowed to do that?
This is something I never thought of and would have never cared about until I had kids. And now I'm always chasing my kids and doing that and displacing them and putting them to where they need to be and making sure to correct them if they look like they are going to have something really nasty happen.
And you think a parent just wants their kid to not be touched and be and make their own mistake and fall and hurt themselves.
It is 2024. And
that's understandable. I can understand some of that. You don't want to have any awkward moment with anybody.
Absolutely a raised awareness. But these kids were doing a flying trapeze right in front of me. And I'm sitting there going, I'm looking for their parents. Their parents are nowhere to be found.
Were they moving around as good as the Browns defense during the dance yesterday?
One of them was moving and shaking like Jedrick Wills on that play that we were just watching during the break.
They set 2-on-1. What are you going to do?
Probably 2.5, 3. And then their parents are in the other room.
Did you know the parents?
Not really.
Were they with your party?
He's got to do what he's got to do.
Yes.
He's the adult. He's a grown adult.
Well, then,
he's got
you have to.
Well,
do
so
it.
Here's what I did. I absolutely took the one girl by the armpits, and then her mom came running and said, thank you. She came in and said, thank you.
Did you get a free drink?
No.
Yeah, no, you did what you're supposed to do.
A precarious, like I'm looking around, and normally your instincts, as it shouldn't just be a father, your instincts as a human should be to protect somebody who is vulnerable and looking like something bad is going
to
happen.
Oh, I think those instincts change, though, especially for you, Anthony. You're the one I can point to that 3 years ago, I don't even know that you would have noticed the situation going on in the bar. You probably would have been preoccupied with something else. But you do, when you become a father, gain a gene that tells you, hey, situation's going on. Do I let them either A, learn a lesson here, or B, prevent them from catastrophe?
That would have been a good 4.5-foot lesson. They would have come smashing down on
you. You develop something that tells you that the situation is starting to get out of hand. It's just innate. Yep. It's a sense. And so you try to put the kibosh on the situation before it gets too out of control. And then you made the right decision. I don't blame you at all for what you did. Well, I'm glad that they didn't get upset either.
Touch all the kids you see in public.
No, I wouldn't.
Now, lesson learned.
Yeah, wouldn't go that far, but still. All right, Guardians won the Central Division. They didn't win yesterday, but they won the Central Division. They celebrated again.
Their celebrations are after legitimate good things.
Yes. Yeah, no one came out like, hey, you guys got to play the ninth inning. Like, well, we already spread each other with champagne and beer. Well, my fault. You guys got to go play the rest of the inning. Like, they don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, once they put the goggles on.
At least the game was over.
They were safe. They put the goggles on. Didn't have to worry about anything after the fact.
Talking about the Guardians right now is like turning around and trying to look at the sunset after a bad car accident. Like, behind me is just carnage. And I feel like Kevin Bacon right now at the NA Animal House telling everybody that all is well. Because it's just chaos around me. And I'm like, hey, the Guardians are good. Good Guardians. They deserve it. They deserve the talk. I almost wanted to start the show today, but I knew I had to face it dead on. I almost wanted to start the show today with the Guardians and just ignore all the bad things. Because, I think we're going to do it. Here I am fumbling right into it by accident again. I think we're going to have more of these shows. I think we're going to have more of these conversations. More of these Mondays. So, I'm going to savor every single win by the Guardians at every single nice moment by the Guardians I can. And hopefully they go and win a World Series, and then I really don't have to have bad Mondays anymore throughout the rest of the year. Because after that, after the Guardian season ends, then we'll probably hopefully have a good start with the Cavs, but it'll still be regular season Cavs basketball. Because they'll win a few games, the Browns will, but it's not anywhere near what people wanted it to be or needed it to be. And I don't know what's going to fix it. The injuries now are in. That's no excuse. There was no offensive game plan to begin with. Now we can't even make adjustments in games. It's not good. That's not good. And there's nothing I can tell you that's going to make it better. Not until the draft, not until free agency, and we're just not going to have that conversation yet. And I don't want to start doing fire coaches all over again. Just because I don't want to doesn't mean it's not necessary, by the way. I mean, we're going to have to do what we have to do. So you know what? Magic number down for the bye is down to 2. Thanks to Joe Noga at Cleveland.com. Outstanding work by him. Glad to have. Do you have anything to say on this matter?
Obviously, I'm still in shell shock mode yesterday.
Yeah.
From what went down. But the Guardians are wrapping things up here. And we are at the end. You're down to your final two series with the Reds fired their manager. You got the 2 games with them. And then what is it with the Astros?
3 with the Astros.
Are we
5
still,
games left.
Are we still playing for the Ohio Cup?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's still very much on the
third
line.
Third celebration, I told them. They should do the clubhouse, drapes, beer.
Just keep it going.
Champagne celebration for the Ohio Cup.
These guys are going to be on a bender before the playoffs
start. That's fine. It really doesn't matter. Are they here or are they on the road for the Cincinnati?
It's here. We're back home.
Okay.
They're done on the road this year.
Mitch, go on over there and get as much as you can now. Because we got one good thing going on. The other thing ain't very good.